Thank you, Micah and Toby. What I'd like to do now is give you all a chance to love on this family, give you all a chance to speak encouraging words into the lives of this dear family. I can't imagine, I honestly cannot, I can't imagine what they're going through. I've never lost a child. I've never had a child come through leukemia twice like a warrior and beat it. I've never had a child go through what KJ went through, but one thing I do know is the Bible talks about a word fitly spoken, and I find oftentimes in situations such as this type of a service, type even of a funeral service, you may be surprised at how God could use you to encourage this family, to use you to speak a word fitly spoken. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. So if anybody would like to share a word, let me get a couple volunteers if I can. Toby, if you'll help me, and Gerald, if you'll help me, two and three, Brett, we'll, if you'd like to say something tonight, you can stand where you're at, or you can come forward, whatever you want to do. Glenn, do you have something? Just come forward, Glenn. Actually, I'll have you just come forward. And then the guys, you stay on one side, Toby, and Gerald, you stay on the other, and we'll give them a chance there. Mic number four. Oh, you got it? Perfect.
All right, hello guys. For you guys that don't know me, my name is Glenn. I worked with KJ a lot in the Awana program. I know tonight's about KJ, but actually I wanted to bring up something real quick beforehand. We all know what's happened in the last month, and I think there's somebody here tonight we also need to just give a little congratulations to. His older brother Jordan just recently graduated, so let's give him a round of the hand. I met KJ 3 years ago. He came to our VBS. A lot of you will remember the Egyptian theme. And that was the first time I met KJ. And it was the second night I had met him. And he opened up to me a little bit about what he had already been through in his life with the leukemia. And he had told me about how his mom had made him a book about pictures of all that he had been through in his life. Now, he's telling me all this, and he's smiling from ear to ear, and here me and my wife are crying tears nonstop. And he asks us if we want to read the book. And to be quite honest with you, my first answer was no. I'm not trying to be mean, but I don't know if I can read that. But he kept talking about it, and eventually they brought the book in, and I looked at it, and it was honestly one of the most encouraging things I could have ever seen in my life. KJ was one of the most tender-hearted, caring, loving kids I've ever met in my life. We've seen hundreds of kids go through that door. And I don't want any other parents in here that I know their kids get mad at me. I'm not picking on your kids, but KJ was honestly one of my favorite kids I've ever met in my life. He has impacted me more than I ever thought I could imagine when I first met him. I was just telling my wife the other day how I don't have a son, but I do have a year-and-a-half-year-old daughter, and if I can raise her to be even half the person that KJ was, I can feel accomplished as a father. I'll never forget the one morning. It was a Sunday morning, and Christy was walking KJ back out in the middle, right before service started, and I could see KJ was crying. And I sit in the back, and I went back there just to make sure everything was okay. And I want to say it was his grandpa, right, Christy? He was just so worried about, I can't remember exactly what it was, but he was just so worried about his grandpa, and that all he wanted to do was sit there and pray for his grandpa. That's it. So me and Christy sat back there, and we prayed there right then and there. And it just goes to show you that no matter what he's been through, no matter what he had gone through in his life, he never put himself first. It was always worrying about somebody else. I know we talked about it at his funeral, but again, for the Awana thing, we have changed the name of our main award to the KJ Gross Clubber of the Year Award. And it goes to the person, like I've already said, that goes to the most generous, tender-hearted, not just the one who works the most, but just who can be the most that reminds us of KJ about just how loving he was and everything. So the last thing I just want to say, and I said this again too already, but you guys as his family, You should be absolutely proud of the impact your little boy had on every single one of our lives in here. I would have never imagined him when I met him 3 years ago, the impact he would have on my life, and I'm forever grateful that I ever got to meet KJ.
Glenn's our Awana director, and we really appreciate his burden that he has for the kids and all the workers that have worked with children over the years. We're grateful for that. Someone else have something you'd like to share? Just kind of raise your hand. There's a lot of tears in the room, and that's okay if you're unable to share, but that's all right. Christy, you got something to say? You know you do. Yes, she does, Jimmy. She talks enough for both of us. Give Christy the mic. She's got something to share. She loves this family, dear friends. She's going to beat her pastor up after the service.
You have no idea.
You're fine. Won't be the first time I've made a woman mad, but it's all good.
I've said before how thankful I am that Stan has shared KJ with us. The way that God worked it out for us to meet KJ, and it's just kind of unbelievable and surreal, but I mean, nothing's unbelievable when it comes to God, but the way that it all worked out was just amazing. And, you know, I think about the horrible time in my life that, you know, what had happened in our life, and I thought nothing good could ever come of it. But I was wrong. Because of what happened, we got to meet this family and meet KJ, and I'm thankful for it.
Gerald, back there. Gerald, back there, son. Brother Joe, wait, I'll give you a mic.
Yeah, my name's Joe Dalmage. I was a worker, still am, at Awana's, and that's where I first met KJ. And the evening, day before I met him, I noticed he was, I did not have any idea that he was sick or anything, but I did know that he had a bright light. And as far as exhibiting Jesus Christ, he was remarkable. We're not just saying that because the family's here. He really was. Yeah. And it had an effect on me, which astounded even me, because not many people have an effect on me like that. And anyway, he was trying to read a verse, and I noticed he wasn't doing it. And I said, how come you're not reading? He says, I don't see very well, and I don't have a Bible that I can see with large print. So I said, you know, I've got some Bibles in the car. With street ministry, you give tracts to everybody. You give a New Testament to someone who makes a profession. And if somebody wants to be discipled and is serious about God, you give them a Bible. That's the rule. And I said, well, I'm going to give you a Bible. So I'm in Awana's now. And I went out to the car and got a Bible. And I thought to myself, here's like 70 kids around. And I said, listen, I got a Bible for you, but we got to keep this quiet somehow because, you know, I'm not here to give out $1,000. And he gives me a thumbs up. He says, I got you. So that's how I met him. I mean, that was, and then I found out after Christy told me afterwards, he's got some health issues, and that's how I met him, and that's how I found out about him. But I'll never forget that, and he's had a profound effect on me, and I'm glad I had a chance to give him that Bible. And I'm looking forward to seeing him again, too. There's a lot of Christians, a lot of people get up to heaven. I want to say, isn't this great? And a lot of people I want to check out, make sure they're there. But you know what? I know KJ's there. He's there, man. And that's a blessing. All right.
Hi, I'm Brad, or known as Bob, as KJ's bus driver. He had asked me my name one time, and I told him Bob. He always called me Bob. And another thing, I don't know, maybe if it's my size, but we always talked about food. And he always talked about sandwiches and this and that, and he always told me he would make me a sandwich, and I remember the one time he came out Sunday morning with a sandwich for me. That was probably the best sandwich I ever had, looking back. But he had always talked, like I say, we had always talked about food, the different types of food he'd have in his restaurant and stuff. And I'll never forget KJ's Flames is the name of his restaurant that he'd always wanted. He was always talking about spicy food and hot Cheetos, and it's, I told him I wouldn't be able to eat there, but hey, I'll donate money.
I was sad because of Caleb was sad because I remember when we was painting rocks and we did everything for KJ, and I loved Caleb so much that I was sad for him, and we made cards for him.
That was very sweet, honey. Thank you for that. I remember a story, KJ loving them ribs. He was up at 2 in the morning eating them ribs. He loved them ribs, didn't he, Jordan? So, Jimmy has something.
Most of you, I don't know how many people know, but me and Christy obviously talk a lot, and some people may not know of KJ's testimony and how he actually came about coming through these doors. KJ was Caleb's best friend. They met at a charter school, and Christy didn't know San obviously at the time, and KJ, I guess, came, or Caleb came home bragging about his new friend KJ, and wanted to bring him over, and Christy was like, okay. Found out he didn't live that far away. Just to show you exactly how God works, Christy ended up taking him to church with Caleb. Caleb wanted him to bring him to church because of just meeting this boy at a charter school. He was able to come through the doors here. Amen. And I listened today about how we're going to have the church is going to have a meeting for VBS at the end of services. And if you ever wonder if your efforts are important.
That's right, buddy.
KJ was saved because of VBS. Mm. He walked through those doors because of his best friend asking him to come to church. And because he came to church through VBS, he was saved. Mm. And because he's saved, he's now in heaven.
Amen.
Praising Jesus, walking those streets of gold. And we will get to see him again one day.
Amen, buddy.
So sometimes we can take things for granted. Sometimes we can think our jobs are not important, but they are, especially for a little young man named KJ. Without being invited to church because of his best friend, may not have heard about Jesus and how important it is for us to have these VBSs and stuff like that.
Amen.
For one young man who has impacted a church in a way that nobody else really has.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll never forget him. And I thank God for KJ. I thank God for Caleb to bring him here. And I thank God for this church loving this family. And I thank God for this family.
Amen, buddy. Thank you, Jimmy. Someone else have something? In the back there?
I didn't get to talk to KJ too much, but I saw him every week in Awana's. And as we said at the funeral celebration, he usually won the Hawkeye Award every week for good behavior during the lesson time. But Miss Amy is the teacher of the third and fourth grade girls, and I assisted her. And I know this is about KJ, but I just wanted to give a testimony, the family, tell you about your testimony that the family, the Gross and the Singleton family, have in this church. We had Angel in our class. And I've said to my husband, and I think I've said to Amy, I think I said to them when they came and visited, you know, sometimes we can see in the children if there's problems at home. We can see if the family's loving. We can see the children show what's going on in the home. The children show what kind of life they're living. And Angel and KJ, I think the the one word that could sum up their personalities is so sweet. So sweet, so respectful, so loving. Mm-hmm. Just, you want to take them and make them your own. And we always said, you know, there's something that you guys up there on that row up there in the front are doing right.
Right.
Because Angel and KJ were just wonderful. Just, I want to know what you're doing. I want to know what you're doing. And I thank you for letting him come here to Emmanuel. And we're not just saying this. We're saying this because it's true. Yeah. We're saying it because of what we experienced in KJ and Angel. And we love them. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Rosie. Someone else? Anybody else?
Now that I'm not so on the spot, I just wanted to say that we all could take so much from KJ. You know, our car breaks down, our day is done. We've had a bad day, we've had a bad week, we've had a bad month. And he had a lot of bad days and a lot of bad months, but it didn't stop him from being amazing.
That's right.
He didn't use it to be a brat. He didn't use it to get away with things and to get his way and to be selfish. He was just amazing. And when I have a bad day, and when my kids have a bad day, I often say and use KJ as an example. Because it's easy for us to sit around and be sad that the bills are in and, you know, all these things. But, you know, we have so much. And he showed us that. And he taught us that. And I'm thankful for that lesson from him.
Amen. Thank you, Christy. Somebody else? Anybody else? All right. all right, bud, you can be seated. Toby? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, hon. Hey, Toby.
Hello, everyone. I'm KJ's grandmother.
Hi, Grandma.
And speaking on what the lady just said right there about bad days, I remember I got up one morning, I just didn't feel like being bothered. I didn't want to talk. And I said, Lord have mercy, I wish I could go back to sleep. And I went into the kitchen, and KJ was always in the kitchen. And there he was, just sitting there looking at me. And I told him, I said, I suppose you want breakfast, right? He told me, he said, yeah, what you going to cook? So I looked at him. And he was just sitting there smiling at me. And I said, what are you so happy about? And he said, nothing really. And I thought about it. I say, the things that he had been through and was still going through, and he could just sit there and smile. And he made my little bad morning just make me feel so, you know, trivial about it. So I said to KJ, I said, you know what, KJ? Just come here and give me a great big hug. And he came and gave me a great big hug. And he kissed me on the cheek. And he said, Granny, I love you. And I said to him, I love you so much. So I was just, he was my grandson. But he had the sweetest nature about himself. And he always found a way to smile, no matter what he was going through, and add an encouraging word for people who were in pain or if he thought you were sad. So he, in his short time here on this earth, he taught people lessons who came in contact with him because he was just a beautiful soul. And I believe that he's sitting right up there right now in the presence of our Lord Savior, and he's having a good time. And I rejoice every time I think about him, because he's made it. In my heart, I believe he's made it, and we still have a way to go on our journey. And that's what I wanted to share with you all.
Go ahead. Go ahead, hon. This is KJ's mom.
I just want to say thank you to everybody for loving my son the way that he's being loved. And I know that his life and his death is not in vain because he's impacted so many people. And I honestly didn't think I was ready to come today and, you know, deal with this today. But I'm thankful that I'm here. And I'm thankful to hear all the encouraging words and the nice things that are said because I know that the 12 years that I had with him, everybody here got a piece of that. And I truly, truly miss my baby. But I'm thankful to know that he had people who genuinely loved him and that he reached so many people and that people got what his life and his death was about. So I'm so thankful to you all, and I love you all so much for loving him and welcoming him into this church. Thank you.
I love you too, honey. Well, Toby, Micah just brought this up to me. What's up, buddy? Huh? You done with the microphone? I thought you were going to sing a song, bud. No. Micah just brought this up to me, and this is actually something I want to. We're going to give to his mom tonight. Apparently on October, what's the date on that? October the 5th, 2016. We presented a Bible to KJ, and we found that. So we want you to have that and know that that Bible your son had his hands on. And you're welcome, hon. Amen. Get a Toby hug out of the deal, too. Miss Bonnie had something, Tope. Miss Bonnie, you can give her a mic.
You told Bill and I not too long ago that it would take heaven for us to know the impact of our work for VBS.
Amen.
We worked 15 years.
They were our directors. Bill and Bonnie were our directors for 15 years.
And if just one soul got saved, just KJ, it was worth every heartache, every begging of people to work. But I guess what I really want to say is if you're here today and you think you could do anything, help out with something here at church because you never know what it's going to lead to.
That's right.
VBS allows, like just last year, 18 souls to be
Amen.
Saved.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Bonnie. Absolutely. Bill and Bonnie, for the last, probably the last 2 or 3 years, they tried to quit and I wouldn't let them. But this year, we've passed the baton on. But Bill and Bonnie have been a huge blessing with VBS, and Bill's come through heart attacks with VBS and had a heart attack one of the VBS nights. I mean, seriously, he truly did. But as all heart attack people, you have heart attacks, you have to go to Del Taco first. He goes, no. She goes, I need to go to the hospital. We're going to go to Del Taco first, and then we'll stop at the hospital. I don't recommend that, but again, and I want to say thank you to Bill and Bonnie for all those years. They did. They poured their heart and soul in this for 15 years, and I think they need a round of applause for that. One of the funny stories that, go ahead, Brother Bill, and then I'll share a funny story about Brother Bill in a second.
Well, then I'm going to talk an awful long time.
It was your first VBS of marching the kids in. We'll talk about that.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to say on behalf of the church, we want to thank KJ's family for sharing him with us.
Amen.
I don't think out of the 2,000 children we had in VBS over the years that we've done it, that we've had anybody who has impacted
Amen.
Our church as much as he has. And as adults, we try to live as Christ-like as we can. He did. Amen. Bible says that we should reach out to others. He did. And I hope that in my life, I can impact half the people that he has Amen. In the short time he was here.
Amen.
So thank you very much for sharing him with us.
Thank you, Brother Bill. Yeah, the first year Brother Bill and Bonnie did VBS, we had, the kids were outside, and we would always try to keep things, so they can come in, their eyes just, man, they just pop out, when they see the decorations and stuff. So Bonnie told Bill, she said, go outside and get the kids ready to march in. What many of you may not know is Brother Bill retired from the military. He's 23 years. 23 years in the U.S. Army and a retired lieutenant colonel. So So he did what Miss Bonnie wanted him to do. He went out, and son, he had them like this, like a military. He goes, you wanted them to march in, we're going to march them in. And they marched in, right? And Bonnie's like, he had them march in. And hey, you ask a lieutenant colonel to do that, that's what you get. But they've done a fantastic job over the years. And again, that was the first time I met KJ. It was 3 years ago at the VBS. And I'll never forget it. Honestly, I'll never forget that. And again, to encourage all y'all that work in VBS. And yes, it's a tiring week. I mean, you guys put a lot of effort in it. To be honest, of all the churches that I know do VBS, you all take it to the extreme in a good way. And because you know it's for the children, but it's also for your Lord. And I thank you as a pastor for your passion for VBS. And we do have another one coming up. And you be praying about that, that God will allow us to reach more young people, reach more children for Christ. And you never know. You never know who God's going to bring through those doors. And it gives us a chance to love on them and encourage them. One more. We got time for one more. Anybody else have one something to say? Don't want to cut anyone short. All right. Yeah, Jordan.
Hello, everyone.
This is KJ's brother.
KJ's brother. As far as my little brother goes, it's him touching people. I have close friends of mine at school and people that's all over social media. If everybody here on Facebook, they know about KJ's page, and it was one of the posts where it got like 6,300 shares, and it's just amazing how much a person that was only alive for 12 years can impact so many people, and not even inside the church on social media and even inside my school. People that just knew a little bit about KJ that impacted them, it's just an unbelievable feeling. I'm blessed to have him as my brother, and I'm blessed to continue to chase my dreams for him because he had big dreams of NBA goals, playing with the New York Knicks with Carmelo Anthony. And I'm going to strive even harder for him because he accomplished my dream by touching so many souls, because that's what I always wanted to do. I wanted to be a leader and impact people with not only with my dreams of hooping, but just the person that I am and being passionate. Amen. And he accomplished that dream for me, so I have to accomplish his. Mm-hmm. And I just was, it's just a blessing that the time that I had him, I appreciate everything I did with him and everything he did with me. And I remember is one time while he was down in the hospital, we were playing 2K. I had Golden State, and he had Oklahoma City Thunder, Carmelo Anthony on Oklahoma City Thunder now. So we was playing, and I was letting them win at first, but I had to start shooting the ball and actually start winning because he was getting too far up ahead of the points. And when I left, he was like, he was kind of mad, but at the same time, I could see in his face that he was happy that I came down and played with him. And I just cherished those moments for the rest of my life, and I'll never forget them.
Thank you, Jordan. Absolutely. All right. Invite you to open your Bibles tonight, if you have them, to the book of Psalms. Thank you, Tope. Psalm 23. And we are going to look at one of my favorite psalms in the Bible. It's probably one of the most recognized and one of the most well-known psalms in the world. You'll hear it read at funerals. You'll see it on plaques, you'll see it on different things, but giving some context to this psalm. Of course, we know the book of Psalms were they were the Jewish hymn book. They literally would take these, often putting the music, and they would sing them on their pilgrimage journeys, on a yearly journey, many times back to the temple, and where they would go and they would worship. And when you come to Psalm 23, we know the writer, of course, is David, and here is David. He's older now. And he's, in my opinion, he's looking back perhaps on his life, and he begins to reflect on how God, how his relationship is with God and how God's relationship is with David. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, David pens some of the most beautiful language to tell us of how, if we know the Lord as our Savior, how God takes care of his children. And he uses the illustration of a shepherd taking care of a sheep. And towards the end of the sermon, I'm going to give an illustration that I think, perhaps, hopefully, prayerfully, may bring some clarity. But when we see her in Psalm 23, you've been sitting for a while, so let's stand just real quick in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. Psalm 23, verse 1. David writes and he says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." The word "want" means lack. I'm not going to lack anything as long as the Lord is my shepherd. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." That's significant. Green pastures around Palestine didn't just happen. They happened just. It took a lot of work and a lot of effort on the shepherd to clear the rocks and to make sure, you know, just to prepare the soil. And so in the context of his relationship with his Lord as his shepherd, he says, "I'm not going to lack anything. And oh, by the way, he making me lie down in green pastures." He's not just a shepherd. He's a glorious shepherd. He is a shepherd that loves us. He is a shepherd that provides for me, David says. "He leadeth me beside the still water." Sheep are very fearful. They're scared animals. They get scared at their own shadow sometimes. And often they will not drink if it's a rushing water. But David says, "He lead me beside the still waters." There's peace. There's kind of a serenity there. He goes on, he says, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow." We emphasize the word shadow, the shadow of death. If you think of a shadow can't hurt you. When you were young, perhaps you'd be walking and you would see your shadow. Maybe you would shadow box. The great thing about shadow boxing is your opponent can't hit you back. In the context of this text, David looks at death and he says the valley of the shadow of death. Why does he say that? Because we know as a believer in Jesus, as KJ did, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Death can't hurt us. Yes, it can take the physical body, but we know on the authority of Scripture, we're more than just a physical body. We have a soul that will live on forever, whether in heaven, sadly, or in hell. And if you know Christ, it will live in heaven. He goes on and he says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." Why is that, David? "For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." And then he says in verse 6, I'm going to focus in on this. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we bow in your presence tonight, we thank you again for the privilege of preaching. We thank you, Lord, for the honor we have to celebrate a young man's life that was so impactful. Celebrate a young man's life that loved you and really, Lord, exemplified what it means to have you as Savior. I pray your blessings on his dear family. I pray, Lord Jesus, you'll shower your love upon them and use us, God, to encourage them, we ask. In Jesus' name I pray and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Tonight, we're just simply going to brag on the shepherd. You know, as we said to you, and you've heard tonight on several occasions, that KJ knew Jesus as his Savior. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just say something to you. Dying in Christ is a blessing. It's a huge... There's two ways a person can die. You can die in your sins, lost, you know, in your sins, or you can die in Christ. And dying in Christ means that you've called upon God to be your Savior. You repented of your sin, and by faith, you believe that Jesus died, was buried, rose again for you. And KJ placed his faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. And that's important. And David, in the context of this passage, he tells us in the context of this that he, of course, the Lord was his shepherd, and he brags on his shepherd. You say, "Brother Tracy, how can tonight we brag on the shepherd?" I mean, you know, it's a sad thing. It's a horrible thing that KJ passed away. And listen, friend, yes, it is. I can't imagine. Honestly, I would never, ever look at a parent and say, "Hey, I know what you're going through," because I have no idea. I can't imagine, and my heart sinks to even begin to think of the pain of losing a child. But one thing I can say, and on the authority of Scripture I can say, is that the Lord Jesus Christ does all things well. He does all things well. We don't know. We don't know why. We don't know how. I can also say this in the context of Scripture, that on the authority of the Word of God, KJ was a special young man. Why? Because his Creator, number one, God created him. But not only did he create him, as I've already told you, God saved KJ. He born him again into his family and kingdom. That's a big deal. That's a huge deal. And when David looks at his life and he ends this psalm, he makes several statements. He makes, first of all, a statement that's absolutely, and he without hesitation, he uses the word surely. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely, without a hesitation. You see, there are some things that you and I, on the authority of the Word of God, there are some things that we absolutely can know for certain, like KJ did. KJ knew for certain that he had Jesus as his Savior. He knew for certain that Jesus Christ was more than just some religious figure that the world tries to portray. Jesus Christ is God, and KJ knew this. Jesus Christ knew that KJ knew that Jesus was God in the flesh, and KJ placed his faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. And listen, friend, again, on the authority of God's holy word, I promise you that KJ is more alive right now than he ever has been in his life. He's in heaven with the Lord. He's in heaven with the saints of God that have died in the Lord. What a glorious, glorious truths we see from Scripture here. But I just want to focus in on a few words, and we'll give you a few thoughts. And I hope my prayer to God is that God uses it to encourage the hearts of this family, but that the Lord uses it as well to encourage your heart tonight. I also know that there are some in this room tonight that have suffered the same tragic thing as the Gross family. You've lost a child. And when, again, my heart just breaks to think of that. But the blessing of knowing that our children, when they're dying in the Lord Jesus, the blessing of knowing that is the fact that we're going to see them one day. We're going to see them again. Matter of fact, all of our loved ones that have died in Christ, if we have the same Savior that they had, we're going to see them again. I have many family members in heaven. I have a granddaddy in heaven. I have a grandmother in heaven. And I can't wait. And yes, I would rejoice to know of seeing my Lord. What a glorious, glorious blessing that is. But a thought that comes to my mind is not only being able to see the Lord Jesus, Brother Joe, but being able to see, oh, this is a good word. I don't know if you're ready for it. I'm telling you, I don't know if you're ready for this. Being able to see our Lord Jesus, but also being able to see loved ones and friends and family that exemplified Jesus in front of us while they were on this earth. KJ was like that. I'm telling you, he exemplified Christ. He showed you that Jesus Christ is real. He's real. He's a loving God. He's a loving Savior. And when we look at these verses, David makes a couple of things, and he makes a statement. He makes that absolute emphatic statement, surely, and then he says, goodness, surely goodness and mercy, but goodness shall follow me all the days of my life. Wow, you know, we often pray, Lord, will you allow this trial for our good, but for your glory? And oftentimes, and I have family, I have friends actually that have gone through some horrific events. And I remember talking to one of my friends one time, and I said to him, I said, brother, I said, in the different situations and different trials, you know, we go through. And I remember one time making a statement, or we were talking and discussing it, and I said, you know, I said, I pray that God doesn't allow us to miss the trial, to miss God's using the trial. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he uses pain. He uses times of confusion. He uses times when we have no idea why. He often uses times like that in our lives to show a lost and dying world how wonderful and how amazing he is. We don't judge a life based on the length of it. We judge the life based on the impact of it. Brother Bill said, he in 12 years, KJ impacted, I mean this, in 12 years of life, KJ impacted more people than some people will who live 80 years. He truly did. Your life, every one of you that are here tonight, all the teachers that spoke, all the ones who perhaps couldn't speak because you're just too emotional. He touched your life. He impacted your life. He showed you, he demonstrated for you what it was like to face adversity, not as a victim. Not one time did you ever hear KJ feel sorry for himself. Not one time did you ever see KJ, as far as, you know, like, woe is me. Not one time did you hear that. He showed you that, hey, the Lord Jesus Christ makes no mistakes. And that the Lord Jesus Christ, he absolutely, when things come into our lives, and I'll just say, sometimes I'll yield a little faith, and I say that of myself. But when things come into our life on the authority of Scripture, as God's child, you need to understand and know. We need to understand and know. It is for our good, but his glory. It is for our good. Paul said in Romans 8, right? We know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The Lord Jesus Christ. David says, goodness shall follow me all the days of my life. And then he says, goodness and mercy. Now, mercy, what is mercy? Mercy, if you were to give a definition, mercy is simply God doesn't give us what we deserve. We ought to be thankful for mercy tonight. Well, if God gave us, listen, if God gave us what we deserve, every one of us would be in hell tonight. But because of his mercy, he doesn't give us what we deserve. Now, when we think of grace, right? So really, mercy is the flip side of grace. In fact, it is the result of grace. Grace is God giving us listen to this. Mercy, God doesn't give us what we deserve. We deserve hell. We deserve punishment. We deserve wrath. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. He gives us heaven. Amen? What a joy. You know, Jesus said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Thomas said, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. How can we know the way? I'm grateful for Thomas in Scripture. Because he is a man who had questions, and I think he was even speaking on behalf of some of the other fellas that are just too scared to ask a question. And Jesus said without hesitation, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Thomas, I'm the way. When Lazarus died, remember when Lazarus died? And Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, were all upset. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother wouldn't have died, Lord, if you would have been here. And Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Now think about that for a minute. You say, yeah, Jesus spoke and Lazarus come out of the grave. God resurrected him. But you got to understand what Jesus was saying there. If we're in Jesus, Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the one that if we're in him, death has no power over us. Death can't hurt us. And I said this during a funeral, and I mean this I keep saying the authority of Scripture because it's important. You have to understand where this is coming from. When KJ drew his last breath, and I was in the room, and I watched him. I watched his little body as his mom held him in her arms. He drew his last breath. Shortly thereafter, his heart stopped. But what we didn't see, what was lying on the other side, Grandma. We didn't see because we're human, right? We didn't see because we're in this flesh. We didn't see, but on the authority of Scripture, we get a glimpse of what it was like. We get a glimpse of knowing, as again we said, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We even said when we prayed in that room, Lord Jesus, we know we didn't see you physically in this room. But God, we know in the authority of your word, you are here. And you have now ushered KJ into your glorious presence. And ladies and gentlemen, We hold on to those promises. We hold on to those truths. We hold on to the facts of God's holy word that tells us there indeed is a heaven, and you can get there if you have your faith and trust in Jesus. If you have your sins forgiven in Jesus. He says, surely goodness. We need God. You know what? We need God's goodness, don't we? We need God's goodness for our steps that we take. We need God's goodness for our stops. When we don't live like we should and we don't act like we should as believers, we need His goodness. We need God's goodness for our pain. We need God's goodness for the pressures of life. We need His mercy. It's because of His mercy we're not consumed. It's because of His mercy we're not in hell tonight. It's because of His mercy we don't experience His wrath. The other side, again, surely goodness and mercy, but mercy, you flip it over, you have grace. Grace, or mercy is a result of grace. God absolutely, somebody said grace is simply God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a good way of understanding it. God's riches at Christ's expense. And then He ends talking about God's glory. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then He ends by saying, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, again, understanding the context. For David to say, now you got to remember something. David, at one time in his life, he was a shepherd, right? He took care of his dad's sheep. Matter of fact, when David went and killed Goliath, where did we find David when he was told to go give his brother some food? He was taking care of his dad's sheep. So David understood what it meant to be a shepherd. Now, when David makes a statement on the authority of Scripture there, he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You got to understand something about shepherds. Shepherds had a life that was always on the move. I mean, they would lead their sheep. They would find them some grazing land. Sheep would eat it. They'd have to get up, take them to another area. They were always on the move. And also a shepherd was always one that would often live in a tent. He would live in a tent. He would just take up stakes. Off they'd go. That was his life. It was a life of passing through. David says in the authority of Scripture that I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A permanency. J. Vernon McGee. Many of you know him. He's a famous radio preacher. Wrote some commentaries. I believe it was Dr. McGee who, him and his wife had lost a child. And I'll never forget this. And I've actually used this illustration that J. Vernon McGee gave. I think he either gave it at the funeral of his child or he wrote a book and included this story in it. And I thought about KJ. Honestly did. He was 12 years old. He was a young man. J. Vernon McGee says that when a shepherd, if he has a flock of sheep, he said it's not uncommon when the females give birth and they have those little lambs. He said it's basically not uncommon for them not wanting to leave, right? Them not wanting to go, them not wanting to be led. And J. Vernon McGee says, he said, what sometimes a shepherd will do to get that mama and the rest of that flock to follow, he says a shepherd will reach down and take that little lamb and begin to walk with the expectation that they will follow. The Lord Jesus, we don't know why. We don't know why. We don't know why at 12 years of age God sought to take KJ. Perhaps, as a loving shepherd that David says he is, could it be that because God reached down, took a lamb, precious child, that you as well will follow, that you'll trust the same Savior that KJ had. You see, God is an amazing God, and you know why that is? Because he can use pain to give him glory. He can use death to give him glory. He can use the death of someone precious as KJ was to perhaps point you to the Savior so that you could repent, believe in the gospel, believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and you too then will go to heaven when you die. The Lord Jesus saw fit to reach down and take him. Are you ready to follow? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, those are coming for the invitation tonight. Lord, we thank you again for your word. We thank you, Father, for the promise of heaven. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the promise of, as David said, grace and mercy and goodness, Lord, and glory. Lord, we're so thankful for these things, these promises. But God, we also tonight, for this precious family, they're hurting. And God, they need a special touch. I pray, God, that you'll use, as you are, you already are, and Lord, we acknowledge it, that you'll continue to use KJ's death to point them to you, to point them to a Savior that 2,000 years ago, and those watching the internet or here in this auditorium, others, Lord, that they'll understand that 2,000 years ago, you did something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. You died for us. And God, you did it because we're sinners. You were buried for us. And Father, 3 days later, you arose. And Father, it's because of that, that when we repent and we place our faith in that, in you, God, that we go to heaven when we draw our last breath or taken in rapture. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. We thank you, God, that this world, it's not our permanent dwelling. Lord, we're going to a place. We're going to a place, Lord, that you prepared for us. A permanent place. We'll be forever in your presence. And Father, I pray that you'll show folks tonight that that's only through you. We honor KJ's legacy. We honor, Lord, his memory and so many great memories. Lord, so many great memories. For those here tonight, Lord, that have lost loved ones, who have gone on to be with you, and they've died, and Lord, they're in your presence. We thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, God, for the promise of reunion. So, Lord, bless the remainder of our time. Bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. 382. 382.